Don't be afraid to ask those questions. As a parent, that's your privilege, your right, to ask the questions that you need answers to, mm-hmm. to feel comfortable with your child's care and what they're getting injected into mm-hmm. them.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we have with us not a mom. We have a guy on the Mom Squad, but not just any guy, a pediatric nurse practitioner and Kate's dad.
Yeah. So it's a new thing for the Mom Squad. We've never had a boy on right? before. This is crazy. Yeah, so it's my dad, Dwayne Kresge. He is a certified pediatric nurse practitioner, practices here in town with Johnson Health Center. And I wrangled him into this and was like, can you come talk to us?
It's such a good thing, though, because, I mean, as a mom who has especially a young child, like, I'm always, like, calling the pediatrician and asking yeah. questions. So this is great. We're so happy to have you with us today.
Well, yeah. Glad to be here.
Well, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and then kind of what made you go into this for a job to begin with, what called you into pediatrics?
Yeah, I'm 45 years in the nursing profession, 38 of those as a pediatric nurse practitioner. Never thought that's the direction I would go. I always said pediatrics was my least favorite in nursing school. And then things changed. My first assignment, I was in the public health service working with the Indians in Montana in a small 34-bed hospital. And it seemed like every time there was a really critical child there, mm-hmm. I ended up being the one that transported to the mm-hmm. big city. And then after 3 years with the public health service, I transferred to the Air Force. And it was during that time that I found myself again in a small Air Force hospital in upstate New York, a multi-service ward where we had pediatrics, adults, psych, post-surgery. And it seemed like every time I ended up with the really sick kids mm-hmm. and again transporting them across the lake to Burlington, Vermont in that area. And one of the pediatricians I work with kept telling me, you know, pediatrics is definitely your thing. And I said, well. And
sure?
Eventually I became convinced of that. And he encouraged me to apply to the pediatric nurse practitioner in the program in the Air Force. And the rest is history. So.
Isn't that funny how God changes our plans? We mm-hmm. think we have something going on in our life. And then he's like, I think there might be something else for you.
Yeah.
Do you like working with kids more now, having done it for so many
years?
Oh, my
goodness. I would not trade working with kids over adults in any way, shape, or form.
That's true. A lot of times they are a little bit more agreeable, even yeah. if you're having to give yeah. them shots.
This is true.
Maybe not necessarily agreeable,
yeah,
but
right?
they...
I was just going to say, I think maybe some of the screaming kids might disagree with you in there, but yeah.
That's
yeah.
true. Well, we're coming off one of the worst flu seasons, so what are some tips for keeping your kids of any age well, especially as the seasons are changing?
Oh boy, that's a good one. So basically, it's just kind of being aware of where the big puddles of germs are mm-hmm. most of the places.
Puddles of germs.
Yes.
I'm going to use that out of my
yeah.
life.
You know, the jumpy houses, dare I say,
yes.
are
yes.
probably one of the big petri dishes around. So just trying to avoid those, you know, good hand washing, trying to just be away from the places of big crowds when you can. But doesn't mean you can't go there mm-hmm. just when you... leave, just trying to disinfect your child.
I have a 2.5-year-old and telling her when we leave places like that to not put her hands in the mouth until
exactly.
I can get some kind of hand sanitizer on her is so hard. I'm like, not in your mouth. Just every time that's what
absolutely.
I'm screaming at her. Not in your mouth.
Well, and I still have like traumatized thoughts in my head every time I walk by like those play centers in the mall or like the jumpy yeah. things or whatever. Even just driving by the skating rink this time of year. I have teenagers, right?
Yep.
So like most of the time they're not sticking their hands in the mouth. Most of the time now. But I'm still like, oh, I don't even want to go near any of
this. Yeah, where's the last kid sneezed, yeah, wiped his nose, and then grabbed something? You know, yeah, it's always, yep, fun to think about.
Well, I was talking about allergies when I was walking in this morning, and I feel like that kind of comes right on the end of flu season as well. Is there anything that we need to be more aware of as the season is changing into that, out of flu season and into allergy season?
Well, probably the biggest thing is just being aware of your child's symptoms. You know, a lot of kids will have just viral colds and stuff, but certainly, you know, allergy season comes upon us, and then we see sneezing. And that, usually that's a telltale sign that there's probably something more going on than just a cold or virus. Yeah. That if they're sneezing like that and their nose is running like the River Jordan, they probably need some intervention.
I wondered the difference between, like, how do you know if it's a cold or allergies? So sneezing is like the key to look for there. That's,
yeah,
good to know.
Definitely.
All right, so if your kid does start getting sick, and I feel like we run into this a lot. So Brittany was just saying, okay, what's the difference between a cold and allergies? I feel like the fever question gets thrown out there a lot, especially if your kid is school age, right? I feel like that fever marker is like, don't send the kid to school if they have a fever. But I feel like the number on the fever has changed a lot in the years as to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
When to panic, when not to panic. Like,
so what is a fever technically now these days? And yeah, what do you do if they're starting to run a fever and maybe it starts to get a little higher? Are there things to look for that might be more problematic?
Yeah, definitely. I think fever phobia is a real thing, yes, for parents, especially new parents.
Yes.
Nothing can make them more anxious than a child running a fever. But the biggest thing to look for with fever is fever in and of itself isn't really a bad thing. Hmm. It is the thing that shows us that our child's immune system is functioning just like it should, and that it is responding and trying to fight off whatever's gotten into their body viral-wise. So fever is good, but it's when it gets high and it's consistently high. And the rule of thumb is a fever of, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 days, that's pretty typical for most viral infections. But if it's lasting past the third day, continues to be very persistent, it's continuing to go up and up, and their symptoms are getting worse, they're not eating, they're not sleeping well, then for little ones, you're always looking at if their output has changed, then those are significant red flags that say, yeah, it's been 3 days plus now, symptoms seem to be getting worse, probably good to get in and see your healthcare provider. So
yeah, so like a baseline fever, if you've got a kid that's running like, 99, that's like normal-ish right now, not even a fever anymore. What if it pushes up into, when does it start to be like fever level? Is it like 101, 102? What are you looking at for that?
Well, a lot of people don't even realize that kids less than a year of age, it's very common, especially in the evening hours, they're going to register 99, 100.2, 100.3. That's really still considered a normal range for a child less than a year of age. But if they get 100.4 or greater, they're starting a fever. Well, it's still considered low grade, but anything, I tell parents, you don't even necessarily have to treat with Tylenol or Motrin. Yeah. But if you do, you want to, if they're happy and still eating, they're probably not in need of it. But if they're grumpy and not eating and just really miserable, then go ahead and give them some Tylenol or Motrin. Of course, the kids less than 6 months, they don't recommend Motrin, just Tylenol. So they're older than 6 months, they can have that. But when the fever starts to reach up, you know, 102, 103, that always makes parents very anxious. But again, our fever is there for a reason. It's helping our body fight off infection. So you just want to give them the accurate dose of Tylenol or Motrin to bring that fever down. Now, will it mean it's going to go away? No, not necessarily, but it's going to bring it down, and they're going to be more comfortable, happy campers. And so that's your goal, is to help them be more comfortable with the fever as it runs, but not necessarily will it just take it away.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a good point with the medicine. So if your child is school-aged, you've got the thing in there and the rules of the school, don't bring your kid, you know, to school if they've had a fever, and it's got to be 24 hours. But the key is, it has to be 24 hours without medicine, right? If you're going back to school for most places, or like, I don't know, how does that work?
Yeah, I think what we tell the parents as they're leaving that are asking that very question is, well, the school's going to say, until your child has been fever-free for 24 hours, we don't want them in the classroom. Now, I know parents that pre-medicate their child with an eight-hour hopeful coverage
like,
so that
school.
They can still go.
Right.
And if it's low grade, yeah, I know that that happens all the time. But yeah, the rule of thumb is 24 hours and then they can return to school.
Is that for contagion purposes? Because maybe after 24 hours, they're technically, I guess, not contagious.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Usually if they're running a fever, that's when they're most contagious.
Gotcha.
So once that fever is broken for 24 hours, then they feel like the contagion period is definitely dropped.
Yeah.
Well, as a provider, what are some recommendations that you have for parents to advocate for their children on medical visits and ways to communicate as a parent with the provider? Because my daughter's 2.5, so she can't speak for herself. So as her mom, I'm always like, what should I do? Because they always ask you, especially when they're really little, there's so many different shots and different procedures. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask those questions. As a parent, that's your privilege, your right to ask the questions that you need answers to mm-hmm. feel comfortable with your child's care and what they're getting injected into mm-hmm. them. So yeah, those are good things to ask the questions, and most providers are going to be more than happy to explain what's going on and why they're important. But everybody has different angst over different issues, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny. We talk about white coat syndrome sometimes yeah. in life. We talk about that usually as a patient, but I have found even in my parenting journey, and I come from a medical family. Mm-hmm. This is my dad.
Yep.
I grew up with
right?
medical stuff. When my kids were younger, there were times when I'd be like, I don't think I could ask that. Can I ask that? I don't know whether I should say that. And
absolutely.
You start to second question, you know, you start to question yourself. So yeah, I think the white coat syndrome is effective with parents yeah. sometimes too.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's really key is parents have gut understandings of their kids, and they know their kids so well that sometimes, you know, you'll go into the office and they'll say, well, I'm not sure they're that sick. And then it's okay to say, yeah, but this is what's going on. They've never done this before. Mm-hmm. These issues are very concerning. Be that advocate.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes that deeper sense of understanding for the provider to really know, oh, okay, this is a little bit yeah. more concerning. I need to do maybe some more testing or x-rays or something. So.
And the nice thing about it now, too, is like calling. I've tend to just call my pediatrician. If like you said, if there's something behavioral that's different about her and she's having some kind of like sick symptom, mm-hmm. I'm like, do I need to take her? And most of the time it's a cough. And they're like, unless the cough has been like a very long time, because apparently everybody has coughs now all the time. Then they're like, no, she's probably fine. Just give her some like honey, because now she's over two and mm-hmm. stuff, and like something to soothe her throat, and she'll probably be fine.
Yeah. It's always hard to figure that out. And I think too, like that idea that, well, no kid is ever the same.
Right.
So
no,
like all the
not.
Treatments are always going to be different across the board. But also understanding that as a parent, you spend most of your time with your child. Now, if they're in school, they might spend a little bit more time in school, but you know the signs mm-hmm. as a parent of like, okay, little Billy is not acting
right.
like his normal self
right.
today. Like, yeah, so, but you would welcome that as a provider.
Oh, absolutely. Even with behavioral issues, it's important to really get the parent's side of the story mm-hmm. so that we can really get to the issue that's really bothering
yeah.
the kids, so.
Yeah.
Well, what's a piece of advice that you find yourself giving to parents over and over again?
That would probably be the thing we've been talking about the most is those phone conversations. I'm not sure if I need to come in. Mm. And it's, again, just reiterating, okay, have they had fever for more than 3 days? Mm. Are their symptoms progressively getting worse? Are they not sleeping? Are they not eating? Those are the things that you just keeping that reassurance back to the parent saying, mm-hmm. yep, they're going to do fine. Or and oftentimes it is just that, just reassuring the parent that this too shall pass. Keep on walking through it. It will get better.
Well, and as a parent, not to feel like you have to apologize when you call. Like,
oh,
that's the reason
not.
That you're there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like when I was calling earlier, when my and I've got three kids, so there's like, it was a cycle of sickness in our house for a long time, all the time. Because once somebody got over it, they were giving it to somebody else. And I was always like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And yeah, so you welcome that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And when you are in close quarters like that, because I have so many friends who have multiple kids, they just pass it around to different members of the family. Are there things you can do to keep it from contagioning, like getting the whole rest of the house sick?
Oh yeah, you can put them in the cellar, close the door, you know, tell them they're not allowed up. No, seriously, just trying to, you know, keep them in their room if they're really contagious with something, and just trying to keep them separated from the other kids. But that's hard to do.
Yeah,
kids like to be in the company of their brothers and sisters. Yeah. So.
Yes. Even my teenagers. So again, we're not in the toddler phase anymore where everybody's like snotting on each other,
right,
or like licking each other's faces or anything like that. Not that they did that, but you know. They do share a bathroom upstairs. Mm-hmm. And we noticed last year that it was like cycle after cycle of sickness going around everybody. And I was like, okay, I am done sharing towels in the bathroom from now on. Like the hand towel that everybody washes their hand on. So we installed paper towel dispensers in our bathrooms. We put them in the kids' bathroom and we put them in the guest bathroom because I was like, you know what? I would rather buy paper towels than have all
this sickness. Did it seem to work?
I think
a little
it has worked. Yeah. Now, Elena, bless her heart, she's been cyclically sick just in general. She's got lower immunity right now. But the boys haven't been as sick this season as they were last year. So maybe it's working. I don't know.
I think that's a great thing.
I'm a spray the whole house down with Lysol kind of person. Use disinfectant wipes. I'm like, my husband got COVID when I was pregnant and we quarantined him in a room. And he came out one day to get a shirt and I was like, what are you doing? Get back in there. You only have this room and this bathroom. Do not touch anything else. And so I did not get it, thankfully. But yeah, I tend to treat people pretty poorly when they're sick as far as like the avoidance thing. I'm like, get away from me.
Yeah, there's a genuine panic, I think, that ensues sometimes when sickness hits the house, especially if you have multiple members and you're trying to keep everybody from getting sick.
Yeah, that's like with pink eye, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many pink eye cases out there in daycares and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's my big thing is don't anybody share the same towel, the washcloths, wash your hands lots because it is so contagious. So.
Yes, for sure. Well, what would you tell, this was not on our list to talk about, but I just thought about this. What would you tell someone that might be listening that is just really overwhelmed as a parent right now and just maybe not even just from a, okay, is this sickness something that I need to be concerned with or is this, you know, whatever, but more from just the general state of being a mom and she's just really overwhelmed. What would you tell them as a provider to encourage them in their mom walk?
Well, I would definitely say don't be afraid to find other moms that are walking through the same time of life. Mm-hmm. We certainly glean from each other support and we can pray for one another. You know, listen to one another. And sometimes that's all it takes is just to have that reassurance and know that, hey, I'm not the only one walking through this.
Yeah,
I have people in the same boat and we're not an island to ourselves, but we have people that care and want to listen. So don't be afraid to reach out because we all think, oh, probably nobody else is dealing with this. Well, that's not the case at all. Everybody is. We're all in the same walk of life. So.
Yeah. Love that.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.